Genesis 24:32. Then the man came to the house, and he unloaded the camels and provided straw and feed for the camels and water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. I will not eat until I have told about my errand. I'd like to apologize for two things. One is that I'm sitting down. And the other is that I think, I may be wrong, but I think the Lord has asked me to speak this morning to someone who is in doubt about your salvation. Maybe there's someone who just can't understand. You know, nobody fills up their cart at Walmart with things and goes towards the cash register and stands there in front of the cash register and says, I just can't figure out what to do. Everybody else is pushing their cards through and paying, and I have the money in my pocket, and I have a credit card, and I just can't do it. But that's the condition you're in this morning without Christ. You can't come to Christ by yourself. You and I are helpless to save ourselves. First of all, of course, by the law. The Ten Commandments were good, and they still are. Don't steal, don't swear, don't kill. We cannot save ourselves by the Ten Commandments because our nature is to sin. We're more interested in doing wrong than in doing right. We cannot save ourselves by the law. We cannot save ourselves by the blood of Christ on the cross. He is the one that must save us. We come to him and we humble ourselves and say, Lord, save me, as Peter did. And he's the only one that can save. And you and I will never be saved. I wasn't saved as a child until the Lord saved me. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I've told about my errand. Come on, eat. Here's food in front of you. No. Verse 34, I am Abraham's servant. Now this servant had crossed the desert. It's about 2 weeks to cross the desert. He had crossed the desert to find a wife for Abraham's son, Isaac. And this servant is not free. He cannot make up his own ideas. And I'm not free this morning. I can't tell you, oh, just try to do good and you'll probably be okay. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, here is pay that when payday comes, we don't want to receive this pay. The wages of sin is death. Here are wages that we don't want to receive. Now, if you work from Monday to Friday, then when pay time comes, you're glad to receive your wages. But the wages of sin is death. Every one of us here in this room has been touched by sin. Everyone. Now, I might come here, or I might go to another country and say, I've never sinned. And you would be quite free to say, well, if you've never sinned, why are you sitting down? Why do you have health problems? Why do you have heavy bifocals on? Why is your hair changing color? You know, at the very back of this room, the youngest child at the very back of this room can tell that I'm a sinner just by looking at my whiskers. Why are they losing their color? You know, there's two cells here. One cell that makes the hair and the other makes the color. And the first cell that dies is usually the color cell. And so they lose their color. Now, I'm not going to open my mouth and show you my teeth. Every part that you would look at, the older we get, the more we see that we are sinners. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And God is inviting you this morning. Now, I'm speaking to someone here who is not yet saved and troubled about their salvation. God is inviting you this morning, take Christ as your Savior. Accept the gift of God. It's a gift. If you paid for it, it wouldn't be a gift. If you worked for it, it wouldn't be grace, because grace is love that we don't deserve. If we deserved it, then it wouldn't be grace. It would be a contradiction of terms. We're saved by grace. Verse 33. Come on. You know, you're a guest. We've invited you to our home. It appears that God has led you here. Why aren't you eating? There's food in front. Verse 33. I will not eat until I have told about my errand. And he said, speak on. So he said, I am Abraham's servant. I'm not free to make up terms. Isaac, Abraham's servant, has been blessed on the other side of the desert, not here. It took 2 weeks on camels to cross the desert. It's not an easy crossing. Now, a camel can walk for 4 days without any food or water. You cannot cross the desert on a horse. The horse will die, and so will you. You cannot cross the desert on a horse and carriage because the wheels and the soft, loose sand will slow down the horse, and you'll all die before you cross the desert. A desert is shifting. The wind blows the sand here. The wind blows the sand there. You'll get lost in the desert. Now think about that. If you and I get lost in the desert, what are we going to die from? First of all, probably thirst. But during the day, we're going to die of the heat. And in the night, we're going to die of the cold. The desert chills down at night. We're going to die of hunger, too. What would make us want to stay in the desert? Who wants to live in a desert with heat during the day, cold at night, and blowing sand, and absolutely nothing to sustain our lives in any way? You won't find people living in a desert. You'll find people crossing the desert. That's what the servant here did, and that's what Rebecca must do. You know, I just can't stop here. Let's zip right to the end of this chapter. Verse 67, why should Rebecca leave her home and family and cross the desert? Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death, and he loved her. What do you need for a happy marriage? Love. You don't need money. You need love. If you love each other, there can be a deep bond and a deep-seated joy when things go wrong. If there's no love in a marriage, no amount of money will make those two people happy. Notice here very carefully in verse 67, there are only two people in this tent. It says his mother Sarah's tent. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Here is a prophecy of Christ right here in verse 67. And the eternal happiness we will enjoy in the love of Christ and the happiness we can now enjoy, enjoying his love to us. In chapter 23, 10 times, God mentions that Sarah is dead. Now, this is chapter 24. In the chapter coming before this, God mentions 10 times that Sarah is dead. Here is it mentioned again in verse 67. Then a few chapters after this, God mentions it again. 12 times God tells us the same thing. This is a prophecy that the Ten Commandments can no longer send us to hell. We cannot be sent to hell because of a lack right here on this platform of candles and pictures and music and perfume and incense and animal sacrifices and everything that they had under the law. We are not Jewish. Now, maybe, of course, you're Jewish by birth, but blessing doesn't come from birth in the family of Abraham. It comes from rebirth in the family of Abraham. It comes by faith in Christ. You see, in verse 67 here, there's only two people in this tent. Can Sarah ever come to this tent and say, oh, Rebecca, you just don't prepare food like I can. Let me show you how it's done. Can she interfere here? Can he say, oh, Rebecca, this just doesn't taste right. Let me get my mother and show you how to do things right. Why does God tell us the same thing 12 times here? And this is only a prophecy. He tells us the same thing. The whole book of Hebrews is telling us about new. When Jesus handed the cup to his disciples, he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." A new covenant. You know, we just don't like new things. We want to go back to music and robes and a list of names. You know, they've all been lost now. But when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, they still had the records of the names of the families of Israel, and they knew that Joseph was in the royal family of David. We like to have a list of names, don't we? We like to have a list of friends. When we meet someone, we just like to look at our book. Oh, yes, your name's in my book. Oh, yes, we're friends. But Christ has swept all that away. What do we have here this morning? Why don't I have some candles burning here and some music playing and all the trappings? Why don't I wear a special robe that has all kinds of really nice things on it? Gold. Where's the gold? What do we have? We have Christ. And he is more than enough. What does Rebecca actually have here after crossing the desert for 2 weeks? She has love. And that's what you and I could have. Personal, individual love from Christ himself. You can sit there where you are in this room and say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for me." Now it's nice to say us, but here in verse 67, it's not us, it's me. The Bible many, many times does say us. Revelation chapter 1, "You've redeemed us to God by your blood." And it's nice to be together here as us this morning. But there is a personal relationship between our souls and God that brings joy to our hearts, and nothing else can replace it. Nothing else can. You know, years ago, a girl came to the Sunday school class. It wasn't Sunday, but we had Sunday school every day, all week. And her face was white, and she was in shock. And she said, "I said a bad word to my sister yesterday." Her conscience was aroused. And I said, "We better go upstairs." And thank the Lord, there was a visiting sister there who could speak a little Spanish. And she took her upstairs to the workshop, and she got saved that morning. I mean, she'd probably done that many times before, but this was the work of the Holy Spirit to wake her up to the seriousness of the situation without Christ. This verse 67 is what the devil is attacking right now. "And he loved her." Why did the devil go to so much effort to go to the Garden of Eden and turn Eve away from her faith and trust in God? Because he wanted to destroy this relationship. "And he loved her." What did Adam and Eve have after the devil had dragged them down into sin? There were two things that Adam had: fear and shame. He was ashamed of what he had done, ashamed of his condition before God, and afraid of the consequences of what he had done. What does the devil want for you this morning? You, if you're not saved yet, those two things too. Afraid of the punishment that's coming for your sins, and shame, everlasting shame for what you've done. What does God want to give us? Oh, how many times in the Bible does Jesus say, "Peace to you. Do not be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid." More than 100 times in the Gospel of John, God, the Lord Jesus here in this world, says, "My Father." And in the Gospel of John, 3 times, after the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, he showed his wounds to his disciples and said, "Peace to you." Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Peace to you. He wants to give us love, joy, and peace. Now, there's one place in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 13. It's the last verse of 1 Corinthians 13, where faith is mentioned first before love. Now, by these three, faith, hope, and love. Now, why is that reversed? It's usually love, joy, and peace. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Why is it reversed there in 1 Corinthians 13? Because faith comes first. We have to trust God. Why is Rebecca here in verse 67? Why is she in this tent alone with Isaac? She trusted him. She trusted his word when she hadn't even seen him yet. When she started across the desert for those 2 weeks on camels, she hadn't even seen Isaac yet, never heard his voice directly. But she trusted the word that the servant brought her across the desert. And now she has the love of her own dear husband. Why is faith mentioned first in 1 Corinthians 13? The whole chapter is about love and the importance of love and what love is and what love does and what love does not do. Because faith comes first in our relationship with God. Then when we trust God, now we have hope. He's coming to take us home. And the love of God is poured into our hearts. But notice the caution there at the end of verse 1 Corinthians 13. But the greatest of these is love. You see, love came before verse 67. This was stored up in Isaac's heart after the death of his mother, just waiting to shine on Rebecca. He was already prepared by God to love his own dear wife, whom he had never seen before, nor she had ever seen him. And now they're happy together. It began with trust, and here's love. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. God's love prepared for us a Savior before the foundation of the world. Verse 64, then Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" The servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. "It is my master." Now that's very interesting, isn't it? Abraham is still alive. Rebekah is gone, but Abraham is still alive. It was Abraham who sent the servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. Why does the servant say here in verse 65, "It is my master"? Because Abraham had given everything he had to Isaac. And now the servant says, "This is my master." Who's our master here this morning? It's the Lord Jesus, the one who was nailed to the cross and suffered there for us. 3 weeks ago, my cousin died. And I went to the funeral mass, and there was a larger-than-life Christ on the cross behind the altar at the mass. And there were candles and everything else that you would find in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and even in the Psalms. But the law never saved a soul. All those robes and curtains and expenses never did save a soul. Even Abraham was saved by the for a short time by the offering of the ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Until the death of Christ on the cross. He's not on the cross now. He's not a baby in a manger now. He's sitting on the throne of grace in heaven. Let us therefore come boldly or confidently to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and obtain help in time of need. We come to the throne of grace. We don't go to the cross. We remember the cross, that he died for us, but he's not on the cross now. And then after the funeral mass was over, the priest walked out, and someone with him, dressed in these Jewish robes. I mean, they weren't actually described in Exodus, but the idea came from Exodus, and they were beautiful. And another person with him, and then a third person carrying the cross in front of him with Christ on the cross. The one in the church was, I think, plaster, and the one he carried out was, I think it was copper or gold or something. We don't have that. We have the Word of God. Who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. This is our hope. And if you take Christ as your Savior today, the devil will attack you. And he's sure to attack. You know, Charles Spurgeon has a terrible time. I spend a lot of time reading Spurgeon. He had a terrible time. He was 15 before he was saved. He heard the gospel all the time. He was brought up, and he just couldn't get it. He couldn't take that step of faith and be saved and come into peace. And when he was 14, he thought, I'll never be saved. I'm lost. I have no hope for eternity. And the devil would attack him with blasphemies. He said after he was saved, the most horrible blasphemies would come into my mind. And after he was saved, he found, and he wrote about it. He said, after he was saved, I was saved, I found I wasn't alone. Now I had someone with me to fight against the devil when he came to attack. You see, verse 33. Food was set before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told about my errand. These things are number one important. The most important thing you can ever do in your life is to take Christ as your Savior. And if you have trouble understanding the Word of God, say, Lord, teach me your Word by your Holy Spirit. If you can't take that step and come to Christ, say, Lord, push me in. Bring me in. You know, when that lost sheep was in the wilderness, the good shepherd went and found it, and he put it on his shoulders rejoicing. He carried that sheep all the way home. And if you think, well, I can't find the way home, say, Lord, carry me. God will never get angry with you for talking to him too much. When I was 12 years old, I began to have doubts again about my salvation. More or less 12 years. I had had doubts before, and I got saved before. I can't even remember how many times I got saved. Finally, at 12 years old, I was having doubts again. So I started to get saved again. And just like the Lord said to me from heaven, you're okay. You don't need to get saved again. You're okay. Speak on. I am Abraham's servant. Verse 35. The Lord's blessed my master greatly, and he's become great. And he's given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and donkeys. And Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master when she was old. And to him he has given all that he has. To him he has given all that he has. All that he has. God has given to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, every authority in heaven and in earth, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He has given to the Lord Jesus, the one who was nailed to the cross and crowned with thorns and despised, the one who never demanded respect. He has given everything he has. He has committed all judgment to the Son, that men may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. You know, there's some fathers here in this room. Suppose that you had a big factory and your son was just coming of age and getting more and more authority in the factory. And people were despising your son. Oh, he's just a boy. We remember when he was born. How could you stop people in that factory from making fun of your son and ridiculing him as he's walking through the factory and telling the workers how things need to be done? And they laugh behind their hand. Call everybody to the dining room and say, from now on, my son is going to be signing all the paychecks in this factory. How do you think people would treat your son if they knew you were serious about it? Anyone who wants a paycheck, listen to my son. God has committed all judgment to the son. Who is sitting on the great white throne? It's Jesus, the son. That we may honor the son. Verse 36. To him he has given all that he has. You see the prophecies here? This chapter is filled with prophecies. Christ is not an afterthought in the counsels of God. Our Lord and Savior giving his life for us and being in authority over heaven and earth, that's not a mistake. It's not a plan two when the first plan failed. This was chosen and planned before the foundation of the world. I don't understand it. I never will. I'll never understand the greatness of God's love and his counsels and his purposes. We just simply have to accept that by faith. Now let's jump ahead to verse 54. I'm jumping around here because we're short of time. And he and the men who were with him ate and drank and stayed all night. Then they arose in the morning and he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother said, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. After that, she may go. And he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away so that I may go to my master. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Very simple. I will go. This is the question I'd like to put to you this morning. Will you go to heaven with Jesus? Well, maybe some other time. Will you go? I will go. You see, this is early in the morning here. And the camels are ready. The camel is a nasty beast. You can make friends with a horse. You can make friends with a dog or even a cat, but you'll never make friends with a camel. You can't jump on a camel with stirrups like you can on a horse. It's too high. Now a horse walks two and two. A camel walks one, two, three, four. Some people even get seasick on the top of a camel. It's a nasty beast. It'll bite if it can. It'll kick if it can. Its own master. And if it can't think of anything else to do, it will throw up on your head or your face if you're standing in front of it. A camel hates its master. And she has a prospect now of 2 weeks on camels to go to the promised land, the blessing. Will you go with this man? Not do you believe theory. I'm not asking you this morning, do you believe theories that the Bible teaches? The Bible does teach great doctrine. And once Christ is our Savior and once the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, we can value and understand and appreciate these doctrines. These doctrines can make us happy. But the question here in verse 58 is, will you go with this man? Now remember, there are no cell phones. Some of you probably can't imagine a world without cell phones. There are no train tracks across the desert. And she may never see her family again. It's not easy to cross the desert alone, a young, strong woman. It's even harder to cross the desert with a baby. You're putting the baby's life in danger, the heat during the day on top of the camel and constant movement and dry food. Now they'll stop at wells here and there. The servant knows the desert, even though the desert is constantly changing, the servant knows the desert. They'll stop at wells here and there and they'll be drinking water from the wells that they'll fill up on skins and put them on the camels. And they'll be having dry food all the way there. The servant is going to look after Rebekah, but it's not going to be easy. Now, I would be lying if I would tell you the Christian life is going to be all happy birthday cakes and applause and flowers all the way to heaven. It's not going to be that way. You know, even when we have children, sometimes our children act like camels. We say, okay, children, time to go to bed now. We need to get up early tomorrow morning to go to grandma's house. Do our children cooperate? Is that a child's nature to cooperate and quickly wash up and get to bed and make sure their teeth are brushed and everything is ready for tomorrow? Rebecca has 2 weeks on camels. How does Rebecca sleep tonight? Camel, blanket, camel. If you try to sleep alone in the desert, you'll die. The wind is too cold. There's a constant wind in the desert, and it's constantly blasting, sand blasting your face. It hurts. Camel, blanket, camel. The camels keep you warm at night. Are there any blessings here? Verse 58. Then they called Rebecca and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" And she said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebecca, their sister and her nurse, and Abraham's servant with his man. Are there any blessings in the desert? You know one great blessing in the desert? It's quiet. Do you hear your neighbor's radio? Are your neighbors in the desert having a party and you can't sleep at night? You know how it is at night in the desert? Totally quiet. Completely, totally quiet. You have time to pray. You have time to think and meditate on what the servant said. What's the list here? What's the list of what Abraham has given to Isaac? Verse 35, the Lord has blessed my master greatly. That's what we want this morning at the breaking of bread. The Lord blessed the bread before he gave it to his disciples. The Lord blessed my master greatly, and he's become great. And he has given him flocks and herds, silver and gold, male and female servants, camels and donkeys. And it's not only for Isaac. Rebecca didn't have to wait to cross the desert before she shared in this blessing. Verse 53, then the servant brought out jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebecca. He also gave precious things to her brother and her mother. You don't have to wait for heaven for blessing. Let's read that list again. I like this list. Verse 53, jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold, and clothing, and gave them to Rebecca. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. You don't have to wait for heaven to enjoy the word of God. You don't have to wait for heaven to be adopted in the family of God or to enjoy singing hymns of praise. You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to read the word of God and enjoy the love of Christ. Immediately, as soon as they came to an agreement, he gave her these jewels. Right now, this morning, you can receive adoption into the family of God. And from this day on, you can say, "My Father." Now, the Lord Jesus taught his disciples to say, "Our Father who art in heaven." That's very precious and good. But maybe there's some time when you're not here in this room. You're all alone and you're not feeling well. And you're lacking in money or your car is breaking down and you're alone. And you can say, "You're my Father. I'm leaving these things in your hands. Jewels of silver and jewelry of gold." Not gold-plated. Not brass that looks like gold, that lasts for 2 months. This is gold and silver jewelry and clothing. God will give you clothing. You know, I was born in Canada and I was walking to work one morning and it was 40 below zero. I had two pairs of pants on, two coats, a scarf, two hats on and my parka over. And I had a parka with fox fur around it here so it keep the wind from blowing across your face because your face, your cheeks can turn white. They'll freeze in the wind. And gloves and all the rest of it. And in front of me, walking to school, I was walking to work, and in front of me, walking to school, was a teenage girl. And she had about an inch here of bright red skin all around her waist. Fashion said, "You can't wear a long parka to school. You have to wear one of these modern short coats." And it was a warm coat. What did he give Rebecca here? Clothing. You know, if that poor girl that was walking in front of me had taken Christ as her Savior, she could have put on a nice warm coat. And people can laugh if they want, but the Lord said I could wear this warm coat. Jewelry of silver, jewelry of gold and clothing, and gave them to Rebecca. He also gave precious things to her brother and her mother. If you take Christ as your Savior today, you can be precious to your family too. Maybe your mother won't praise you. Maybe she won't say, oh, you're the best son in the whole world, and you thank you for doing this and thank you for doing that. You know, someone even might say, well, I hope you will. You're a Christian. That's the way Christians should act. And that's true. But notice verse 53 here. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. You can be a precious jewel in your home by your kindness, your kind words, your kind actions. So can I. And our families can be touched by the love of God. Well, here's a problem. Verse 55. If the devil can't say no, he'll say tomorrow. What does verse 55 really mean? But her brother and her mother said, now this is the early morning. The servant wants to get an early start. You cannot ride on a camel in the heat of the sun at midday in the desert. It's too hot. You've got to stop the camels, spread the blankets between the two camels, and get underneath the shade. It's just too burning hot. He wants to get an early start. It's just gray dawn now. And he wants to bring Rebecca to Isaac. That was his mission. Verse 55, let the young woman stay with us a few days, at least 10. What does at least 10 mean? Are they going to want to let their sister go in 10 days? Oh, let's just wait a week longer. She's crossing the desert. We may never see our sister again. Just wait till we can make a quilt and we'll sew our names on the quilt so she won't forget us. Just put it off a little. If the devil can't say never, he'll say tomorrow. And tomorrow, he'll say tomorrow again. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. You know, without the word of God, the only honest religion is to be an agnostic. The only honest religion without the revelation of the word of God is simply to say, I don't know, and you don't know either, because nobody can know. Once we have the word of God, if we put our trust in God and in his word, then we can say, I will go. How do you solve this problem? Verse 55, not such a rush. It was only last night that we met you. We need time to say goodbye to our sister. We need time to bake some special cakes so she won't forget us, and to collect dates and honey for the travel. No, the servant has everything ready. Verse 56, and he said to them, do not hinder me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. This is not compulsion, is it? Verse 57. So they said, we will call the young woman and ask her personally. Is there any compulsion here? Are there any threats? Will you go with this man? I will go. So they sent away Rebekah and her sister and her nurse and Abraham's servant with his man. And they blessed Rebekah and said to her, O our sister, may you become the mother of thousands of ten thousands. And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Then Rebekah and her maids arose and they rode on camels and followed the man. They rode on camels and followed the man. Would you like to ride on a camel? It complains the whole time. A good horse, you don't have to beat a good horse. Just make a little sound with your tongue and the horse will go faster. You don't have to pull on the reins with a good horse to make it stop. Just tell the horse to stop and it'll stop. It understands English and Spanish too. Do you want to ride on a camel? A camel has to kneel down for you to climb on its hump. You can't take a ladder in the desert to climb on the camel's hump. The camel doesn't want to kneel down. And then when he gets down and you're on his hump, he doesn't want to get up. He complains about everything. Is there any complainer in this room? But when you're asked to wash the dishes or sweep the floor or do your homework, you start to complain. I don't feel like it. Verse 61, Why did she leave the comforts of home and family and climb on that camel? A camel doesn't get up when you tell it to. It only understands one language for 10 years or however long you have a camel, and that's the stick. And stay away from the front of a camel and the back too. It's not an easy task to cross the desert, even in a comfortable SUV. But is it worth it? You know, years ago we were reading verse 67, and there was a sister in the audience, and her husband had two wives. She was one of the two. She had five children, and they were struggling financially. It was just a difficult situation. And we read this verse, and he loved her. And the tears started running down her face. She had never experienced this here below in this world. We're going to experience this for all eternity in heaven. And the law is not going to help us to enjoy verse 67. What is the purpose of the law right now? Why is it that we don't just hand out New Testaments? You know, last night we were handing out Bibles. Why don't we say, well, you know, no one can get to heaven through the law and the sacrifices and the candles and the images and the pictures and the incense and the perfume anyway. So let's just hand out the New Testament. The law has a purpose, and that is to prick our conscience, to wake up our conscience and prick us. You shouldn't have done that. That was a sin against God. God said that was a sin thousands of years ago, and he hasn't changed his mind. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. Now, what do we have in Christ? And he loved her. You know, several times in the Bible, it says that Sarah was a beautiful woman to look upon, even after she was a mother, as soon as King Abimelech saw her, he asked her to come and be his wife. She was so attractive and beautiful that Abraham, when he was in a famine and they decided they were going to have to go to Egypt, he said to Sarah, do me a favor, say you're my sister and not my wife, because they'll kill me to steal you away from me. You know, read Exodus chapter 25, the beauty of the tabernacle of God. Read about those instruments of music and the songs. We all like music. We like playing music in a band. Can we give all this up for the quietness of a tent? Verse 67. Nothing but a tent. Can we give all this up just for two or three? If we are enjoying the love of Christ, yes, we can. Why is it that God's people abandoned Shiloh? God said, with sorrow, you have abandoned the waters of Shiloh that flow softly. We don't have a lot of noise here. We don't need a lot of noise. We need Christ. That's what warms our hearts. That's what cheers our hearts. That's what keeps us going on our way to meet our Savior in heaven. It's Christ and his word and his love to us that he shows to us now. And that's why he died on the cross. He said, I am come. The thief doesn't come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. What do you need to form a church? Two or three. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Does that look great and important here in this world? No. Two or three. You and your brother praying. Let's say your mother's not feeling well. So you say to your brother, let's pray for our mother. So you pray and he says amen, and then he prays and you say amen. You're not going to appear on television. You're not going to be rich and famous. But the Lord Jesus himself said, when he knew that he was going to be rejected alone and nailed to the cross completely alone, even Peter denied him. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Our loving Father, thank you for your love to us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you gave your life for us to redeem us. You're coming, Lord, to take us home. We'll spend all eternity with you. And now we look to you, Lord, that you would bless this time together. Bless your precious word to our souls. Warm us up, Lord, on our way home to be with you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.